Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When I was in my late 20s, I took a year off from graduate school. I went to work for the Children's Defense Fund in Washington, D.C. And my second job was working at a shelter for homeless pregnant women in Northwest Washington. That year, I worked 30 hours a week at the Children's Defense Fund and 30 hours a week at the homeless shelter. And it was also the year that my grandfather died, quite unexpectedly. I was in the ordination process in Washington, and I had interviews scheduled with the diocese for that Saturday. And I also had weekend commitments at the homeless shelter. And that meant that I could not go home for my grandfather's funeral. It was as clear and as simple as that. So that Friday night, the night before my grandfather's service, I was on duty, sitting at my desk at the homeless shelter, a really beautiful old brownstone on Harvard Street. I was filling out the daily logs, counting pregnant women and a few women with newborns, doing curfew checks, but obviously my heart was not in it. Dee, who'd been a resident in the program for 7 months, stopped by my office and asked me if it were true. If it were true that my grandfather had died and that I wasn't going home for the funeral the next day. And I was very surprised that she even knew about it, but I said that yes, it was true. And Dee sat down on the steps, the very steep steps between the first and the second floor of that brownstone, which were right across from the office I was in. She sat down on those steps and she started to sing. She sang, "His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." And then there were 3, 4, 5 other people on those stairs, all singing classic hymns. And I joined them, and we were singing and clapping our hands and humming along for over half an hour. No one else asked me if I were sad. No one else spoke about my grandfather, but the mercy was all over their faces. We never had a tempo that asked for too much happiness, and those 5 women were gentle and kind. And when the singing broke up, we all returned to the work we were doing before, but my soul was back. Their gift had rekindled my heart. I was in a ditch that night, and I had 5 good Samaritans help dig me out. And that night, they offered me more than my colleagues or my bosses or even my friends in Washington, D.C. had offered me. They showed up. They saw where I was broken, and they cared for me. I don't tell the story often, but it's one of the first stories I think of when I hear the parable of the Good Samaritan. The reason the parable is called the Good Samaritan is because in Jesus' day, Jews and Samaritans were enemies. When Jesus told this story, racial and religious hatred had separated them for over 1,000 years already. No Jew thought much of a Samaritan. It was generally understood that all Samaritans were bad Samaritans, bad people. Jesus's parable reveals the deep mercy in the heart of that Samaritan. Jesus's story pulls back the hatred and prejudice like peeling an orange, and shows us the generous humanity in the heart of that nameless Samaritan. No Jew expected much from him, but he proved to be kinder than the priest, who rushed past that bleeding stranger in the ditch. And he was more generous than the Levite. So despite the priest's credentials and the Levite's status, their hearts were cold and self-centered. I'd like to tell you that I don't recognize my own behavior in the behavior of the priest or the Levite, but that would not be true. All of us have had days of exhaustion or anger or disappointment or selfishness that cause us to do less for one another than we could, than we should. And that is why we have a confession of sin in our liturgy each Sunday. Each Sunday before God and before one another, there's a chance for us to recognize our own shortcomings, to uncover our own remorse, to find forgiveness, to start again. I know what it feels like to be the priest or the Levite in that story. Sometimes we get it wrong. The Good Samaritan gives his time and his money and his care because he understands that love makes us rich. Not rich in things, not always rich in time, but rich in soulfulness, rich in humanity, rich in love, rich in grace. We find ourselves in the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we play all the parts. We know what it feels like to get robbed of something important to us or to be betrayed by someone. We know what it feels like to look away. We know what it feels like to be the one who's cared for or the one who does the caring. When something terrible or tragic happens, look for the helpers. They will always be there, carrying on a tradition as old as kindness. The secular world will tell us that invincibility is our strength. But our real strength lies in our being imperfect human beings who reach out to other imperfect human beings. Love is our strength. Striving for invincibility makes us brittle. Love is lush, restorative, life-giving. Jesus said, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, to us, "Go and do likewise." Amen.